Come with me on an imaginary journey into the world of water. Close your eyes, or soften them if you feel like it, and imagine you're standing at the edge of Puget Sound with your shoes off, feeling the dry prickle of sand and maybe a few clamshells on the bottoms of your feet. Take a few steps forward into the water and feel the cool motion against your feet and ankles. Another step or two and the waters reach your knees. It's full of life, this water, moving against you, pulling with the currents, small waves splashing against you. You can smell the aliveness. Maybe you can see it in tiny fish that dart by. Life originally formed in the salt water, and still today, life is only possible because the temperature of planet Earth falls within the slim margin between ice and vapor. In our universe, that is extremely rare. Temperatures range from minus 272 degrees Celsius to 15 million degrees at the heart of our sun. Think about that heat as you feel the cool water tingling against your legs. And then, without giving yourself too much time to think, throw yourself into the water. Now you're in it and of it, flying and floating, pulling your head up for a precious gulp of water, ducking down to see the murky world of grasses, rocks, crabs, and fish. Maybe you have an ancient memory of water, or of floating in your mother's womb until you were born in a swoosh of water. Now it's time to head back to the beach. As you stand up, feel the pull of gravity. And look down, you might notice that your skin has become prune-like. The water is becoming part of you. We are of the water, and the water is of us. Our bodies are 70% water, as is planet Earth. Water lubricates our joints, fills our cells as part of our blood, brings nutrients and oxygen throughout our bodies, and transports waste away. The water out there in Puget Sound, in our rivers and creeks, the Pacific Ocean, flows through our bodies and then returns to those bodies of water. And water does something else too. It is the source of ecological sustainability. The oceans and ice caps help moderate the climate on this liquid planet. We are at a knife's edge. We're just a few degrees hotter or colder, and life as we know it becomes impossible. The Pacific Ocean recharges the moisture content of overhead air flows here in the Pacific Northwest. The Cascade Mountains cause the air to rise and cool and release its moisture in our valleys, forests, croplands, and on us. As you move east from here, just on the other side of the mountain, is desert. Our mountains act as a cooler and as a reservoir, holding our abundant rainfall as snow, and then releasing it slowly throughout the warm, dry months of summer. Bellevue gets drinking water from those mountain rivers. The Cedar and South Fork Tolt Rivers are sourced in that snowpack. In eastern Washington, growers get their irrigation water, and ocean-going salmon get the fresh water flows they need to make it to the ocean, where they can feed and grow and return as a bounty to this region. These are not to be taken for granted, these gifts of Mother Earth. Glaciers throughout the world are in retreat, and the Cascade snow could someday fall as rain. Without the snow, these summer flows could dry up. Water is where we will and are most fully experiencing the impacts of climate change. In the north, permafrost is melting, letting off climate-disrupting methane gas, threatening to trigger a vicious cycle of increasing carbon in the atmosphere and increasing warming. The ocean is absorbing excess carbon and turning acidic, eroding away the shells that many ocean creatures require to survive. Recent research in Nature magazine shows that we are losing phytoplankton, which are at the base of the ocean food chain, at the rate of 1% a year. Phytoplankton is the source of 50 to 85% of the world's oxygen. We know the oceans in our beautiful Salish Sea are in crisis, and perhaps we could say they are dying. We can see it in the disappearance of starfish in the Puget Sound, the shrinking habitat for salmon, the increasingly endangered orca. Most of this crisis happens in silence under the water surface. Unless you've been in one place for a long time, you might not notice the orca or osprey that are missing, or the salmon who fail to make it back. Extinction is a quiet affair. Not so the storms, the stationary hurricane that inundated Houston, or the double whammy that hit Puerto Rico, and last year's forest fires worsened by drought and erratic winds, which made our throats raspy and our eyes sting. Water is how the climate crisis presents. Some places too little. Rains don't come, forests burn, rivers dry up, crops fail, people starve or move looking for sustenance. Conflict and war break out. And sometimes it's too much water, the rising sea level that will change everything along our coastlines in coming years and is already starting. Climate change is little discussed, though, in Congress and the state houses. It's too big to make into a slogan, and too many powerful forces are determined to get the last dollar from extracting the last oil and gas and coal and burning it into our atmosphere. When I was at the Native American encampment at Standing Rock, there was discussion of climate change and ways the world would soon be changing, but the focus was on a more local concern, the threat to drinking water. The tar sands pipeline, which the Energy Transfer Company wanted to take through their traditional lands and across the massive Missouri River, does contribute to the distribution of fossil fuels and so to the crisis of climate. But the immediate worry is that the pipeline, deemed too risky for the predominantly white population of Bismarck, North Dakota, was moved downriver to a spot just upstream of the remaining home of the Standing Rock Sioux and the Cheyenne River Sioux tribes. The water protectors there were not overstating the truth when they called out Miniwakoni, water is life. Yesterday marks 4 years since Flint switched to a water source that resulted in thousands of children being harmed by lead in their water supply. Water is life everywhere. This water that comes out of elementary school drinking fountains and that runs through the wombs of mothers-to-be and through the breast milk that will nourish another generation and another, this water is precious beyond measure. So protecting the water is a sacred duty. That is one of the many things we learned at Standing Rock. Don't protest. Protect. Protect the water. In 2015, I took a road trip across the country, visiting communities in 18 states. I'll tell stories about that in the reflection period later, but I want to share just one story now. In November 2011, Carol Davis, an elder with the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians, called the women of the Turtle Mountain Tribe together. There was a fracking boom going on not far away at the Fort Berthold Reservation in North Dakota, and in the tribe's tradition, women are responsible for protecting the water. Krista Bonnet, a tribal member I interviewed when I was there, first thought an oil and gas boom on her remote reservation would be a good thing. She recalled thinking, wow, how lucky they are. How come we can't strike oil here? But what she and the other women discovered in their research about fracking changed her. They learned that large amounts of water mixed with chemical salts and sand are forced deep into the ground to shatter rock in order to release methane and oil. They learned that the procedures produce large volumes of wastewater and contaminated materials, including radioactive materials. And they learned that the drilling would go right through their precious aquifers. If a spill contaminated their groundwater and the lakes that make their region so beautiful, cleanup would be impossible. Armed with this knowledge, the women brought their findings to the Turtle Mountain Tribal Council. People were stunned when we presented the facts, one of the women said. The council unanimously voted to ban fracking. This area is where our ancestors did their farming. The springs run through here, and this is how generations survived, Tribal Chairman Richard McLeod told me. The fracking ban will protect our water so future generations can continue to survive. I asked him about the millions of dollars the small impoverished tribe could have received in drilling royalties. He said, We all know that in the very near future, water will be more valuable than oil or gold or anything else. What is sacred to our tribe is water. Water is life. Mini Wakoni. When I left the reservation, I noticed a windmill tapping the constant wind of the northern plains to supply energy to the reservation, and the beautiful lakes surrounded by trees and homes where the people of the Turtle Mountain Chippewa tribe have water that will last for their children and for generations to come. Here in the Puget Sound, we've done some extraordinary water protection. The Kai activists made it clear that the Shell oil rig destined for the far north waters was not welcome here. Shell has since abandoned its Arctic oil drilling plans. The Lummi tribe, just north of here in Bellingham, put a stop to the Northern Pacific Gateway coal terminal at Cherry Point. The Yakima tribe and residents of Vancouver helped stop the Tesoro Savage oil terminal planned for the Columbia River. It would have been the largest oil shipping facility in North America. And just south of here, the Puget Sound Energy Company is moving forward with the construction of a giant liquid natural gas facility on land the Puyallup tribe claims as theirs. A judge agreed with the tribe and released the people who were arrested on site trying to stop the project. Tribal members recently built a miniature longhouse in front of Puget Sound headquarters here in Bellevue. Like Puget Energy, they did so without the permission of the landowner. To the north, the Kinder Morgan pipeline is on hold as of the 8th of this month, although now the Trudeau government is talking of stepping in. The native people of Vancouver, British Columbia, have been working for years to protect the waters that would be endangered by this pipeline. The project involves loading massive tankers with tar sand bitumen from Alberta, which multiple times every month would thread among the San Juan Islands, the Canadian Gulf Islands, and the Strait of Juan de Fuca. It's not a question of if there's an oil spill, only when and how big. And for us, it's a question of does the tidal water come here to Seattle? What is the Salish Sea we share worth to us? We humans are like our cousins in the living world. We all rely on water. But only we humans have the power to protect the water. All of our ancestors back untold generations and all the generations to come of all of those people we happen to be alive at the time when the twin crises of water and climate will be determined. The Mother Earth that gave us life needs us now. In a certain way, though, the Mother Earth metaphor leads us astray because the Earth is not something we grow beyond or separate from as we mature. The Earth is our mother, but she is also us. We are part of the life of this Earth, and we will always rely on the life-giving properties of the Earth. No technology will substitute for oxygen or air or water. So, what does that mean we should do? There is no simple or easy answer, but there's a question you might contemplate. What would your grandchildren's grandchildren ask of you if they could call back through time? What would they ask of your wisdom and your courage? One thing is certain, you are needed. Whether you sit down in front of polluters or stand up to corporate CEOs ready to extract yet more climate-killing fossil fuel, or whether it's finding a way to reimagine and rebuild our communities, to restore relationships of reciprocity with one another and with the natural world. In each community and for each of us, the form of our involvement may be different. But real change will not be coming from federal officials or big business or even the big advocacy groups. It's up to us now. Our communities, including our faith communities, are where deep change is possible. I believe another world is possible, and I believe it can begin right here and begin today with you. Thank you very much.